Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to American Patriots Have Responded. I'm Bill Moss, your host and founder of Citizens Against Terrorism. You can find us at citizensagainstterrorism.org. I ask you to go to citizensagainstterrorism.org and look at our page. If you decide you'd like to join us, go to the top of the page. There's a Facebook rally point. You click on that. It will take you to our Facebook page. At that point, you hit join, and we will look you over. And if we decide that we want to let you on the page, we will let you on the page. And at that point, you'll be sent a message that if you want to join the actual organization or find more out about it, you will be given a contact number to call. Let me just say, because you're on the Facebook page, does not mean you belong to the actual organization. We're a boots-on-the-ground organization. We help with the police. We help them to defend our cities. We work with them when possible. If they refuse to work with us and they refuse to do the job, we do it anyway. We go and protect you and your homes and your families and your businesses. We protect your statues, monuments, graveyards, cemeteries, churches, schools, all of those sort of things, federal buildings. I would like to say that everyone is welcome. We also will be setting up community centers to where we can help people with food and toiletries, health items, you know, like sanitary type things and shaving cream, deodorant, things of that sort. Toilet paper, anything that we can get that we can pass out to help the people in need in our communities. Today's show is sponsored by Jeff's Sporting Goods at the Green Roof Plaza. Jeff has a large selection most of the time. It's with today being like it is, some of his items are running short. But he supplies gun, ammo, fishing tackle, and more, archery supplies, and trailer accessories. If you need to call Jeff, he is about a half a mile north of London, Kentucky on Laurel Road. And if you need to call him, his number is 606-877-2442. Again, that's 606-877-2442. Our co-host, Deborah, is with us today. Hello, Deborah.
Bill, we've got a show, and I'll tell you that being in the news business, as we found ourselves, it's every minute there's a breaking story, right?
Yes, it seems that there is always something going on. I want to talk today about what's been going on in the country, but I also want to use this show today to dispel some misconceptions that have been going on around about the different political parties concerning slavery. Hopefully, if our listeners hear what we have to say, it will help to ease those racial tensions in our communities. We're going to try to remain neutral and just give you the facts that we found through Wikipedia. This will be the first of a series of shows. Now, these series might be interrupted with the tensions and the temperature in our nation right now, but you will be notified. You will be able to watch our Facebook page or watch Blog Talk Radio for the next show and the series number. We do hope to be able to get these on YouTube soon because we've been having trouble downloading. And you'll be able to go there also and watch all the different shows that we're putting on it. And always you can go to blogtalkradio.com/citizensagainstterrorism. That will take you to our page, and you can go through there and see all of our episodes and click on the ones you want. Deborah, before we get started, I want you to tell us what you've heard about a regime change model. Could you help us with that?
It's been the talk of the town for a couple of weeks, and you know, I know you and I have discussed it, but what's interesting is it's really coming to light because we're watching it unfold. And it Darren J. Beatty is the big hero here. Tucker has recently interviewed him. Dan Bongino is all over this thing. What it is, it's a color revolution, and he talks about some interesting theories of the foreign governments actually giving disinformation in our country. And he doesn't mention really, I haven't gone into depth because we've been so involved with these other things, but that we're discussing, but Russia and China, I don't know, it almost seemed like, I'm going to go deeper, but it almost seemed like they're decoys, Bill. They're not that they're not involved. FBI Christopher Wray recently talked about the active efforts that Russia is interfering with our 2020 election. So not to dispel, my gosh, who am I to say that? But the funny part is, or the unfunny part is that there's a subtle engineering that's happening. And when we start studying the neoconservative and what the neoconservative has become in later generations and decades, then we're looking at a devastating counterassault on reality. And we're watching this, and what a regime change model really means is that that they use subtle tactics and techniques to take over government. And by doing that, usually it's smoke and mirrors. It's not, which explains our recent discussion of the White House siege and why that wasn't straight up like 9 years ago when they occupied Wall Street, the Adbusters in Canada. This regime change model, this takeover of our country, actually an overthrow of our government, is basically Canadian, European, and then of course the other countries, China, Russia, and some of our other enemies or so-called enemies or might be involved. But I wanted to say the two things before we move on, the two things that are used in this overthrow, if I can call it that, would be to cause a peaceful protest and then contest election. I think this is really, really vital because we're watching this and we're watching them march to DC, and it was a busy night last night. So bottom line is, when I finish this up so that we've got more to come in the next couple of days, we'll do some research, or I will, Bill, but can I ask you, because you're more of an expert at this, how do we, and this is not off topic, this is right on topic with everything we're discussing today, how do 8 justices sit on a court? Can you talk about that? Because I know we just lost Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she was revered by many. Even President Trump mentioned her in one of his rallies. Can you help with that?
Well, Deb, the idea of having an odd number of people on the Supreme Court comes to the fact that we have to have a tiebreaker. Without a tiebreaker, many things can be held up that should be decided on. That's like the Senate. You know, we have 100 people in the Senate. So the Vice President of the United States, whoever he might be, makes a vote that is a tiebreaker vote. Should it come down to a 50-50 split or 49-49 and 2 abstaining or whatever, then the Vice President of the United States goes in and he makes the last vote, and that's the deciding vote. Now, we heard your rendition of a gentleman who was a congressman who rode 70 miles, I believe it was. He was riddled with cancer to make a tie-breaking vote for the Constitution of the United States. Mm-hmm. To be ratified. Had he not been there, had he not come there, then it's hard telling how long it would have took for them to come to an agreement in order to go ahead and pass the Constitution. And the decisions by the Supreme Court are of great gravity. And without someone to break that tie-breaking vote, it could be tied up for months or even years. So it is important to have a ninth person on the court. And, you know, it kind of concerns me. You were talking about Ruth Ginsburg. It's been reported that she said that on her last thing she said before she died is she didn't want to be have another judge appointed in her stead by Donald Trump, the President of the United States. This is supposed to be a body that is non-leaning politically. They're supposed to lay all the political ideas aside, and they're supposed to rule on the Constitution as written. And we have seen over and over through the years this does not happen. And Ruth Ginsburg was very open about the things that she believed in. And she to me, it is my opinion. And now, again, all the commentary on these shows don't necessarily represent the show itself or the organization Citizens Against Terrorism, because we are commentators, and that means we can speak freely. It's my opinion that she was heavily biased in a lot of her decisions. There's been other judges too, and I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but at the same time, we need to just, you know, shine a little light on this. Ms. Ginsburg, Judge Ginsburg, to say that she didn't want to be replaced by the President of the United States shows that political bias. We need people in that court, and there's others in that court that are highly biased. Even the Chief Justice was called out a while back by a politician. And he got upset. It had to do with appointment of what was stated as Obama judges, and they were in the lower court of the Supreme Court. They were in the districts, and you know, I understand that they're not going to vote 100% the way I like, but I mean, Justice Ginsburg. She said that she was a champion of women, and she was in many ways. But was, you know, Deb, I'm going to ask you, was she a champion of everything you believe in?
I'll tell you an interesting story. I know you have really a packed show with what we have to cover, and you're kind of carrying the big ball most of the time and today as well. But I, early in the year, and because of my lifestyle, I've never really, and I've never had children. I really wasn't, and shame on me, I wasn't an activist or involved in the pro-life or pro-choice movements. I was standing back and being complacent. And I was watching by the sidelines. This doesn't affect me, which is basically what's happening right now in America with both sides of the equation. A lot of what I've seen, except for maybe the protesters that are supposed to be peaceful, and the news media, and some of the political leaders that are going off the chart, which kind of backs up the counter assault on reality. Thinking that we're going to wait and honor Ruth Bader Ginsburg's wishes for 8 billion people, because this really is going to affect 8 billion people, not just 330 to 350 million in this country. But getting back to my story, and I'll make this quick, because I didn't have a dog in the race, I sat on the sidelines. And I didn't really take a stance. I didn't take a position. And then early in the year, when we were locked up with the COVID, March 15th in California, I started watching Amazon movies when I get frustrated on Prime. And I opened up Unplanned. And I didn't even read the information on the plot. I opened it up. I thought, this looks cool. And I watched the movie, and it changed my life. This is Abby Johnson, true story, 8 years with Planned Parenthood. And I watched a little boy, reenacted a little boy at 11, 12, 13 weeks old that actually fought for his life to move away from the abortion catheter, and he was sucked up by the suction machine and in pieces. Now, that changed my life. I am so pro-life. These are babies, and that is one of my big contentions with this justice. And I bless her heart. I wish her family well. She was loved and revered, and I respect her for what she did that was positive. But that I can't wrap my head around. I'm sorry.
Okay. Again, you know, with all respect to the family and everything, she was a great litigator. She was a great judge in many ways, but there were, just like any other justice, there were items that, you know, in her decisions and in her actions that a lot of people didn't agree with in America. Excuse me. But we need to move on to our show now. Today we're talking about what we found in Wikipedia about the Democrat Party. We'll continue on through the Democrat Party, what we found in the next few segments. And then we will go to the Republican Party. We want to be fair and balanced on this. This is not a political hit job against one side or the other. What it is simply what Wikipedia has put down. And in all fairness, I got to say, usually Wikipedia kind of leans a little bit to the left, and I was surprised what we found. Were you not?
Yes, I was. It seemed like it told both sides of the story. It told more of an accurate account.
Right, it really did. The reason I wanted to do this show is I've had a lot of people make statements that, you know, Deb, that I study history and I enjoy history and I'm pretty up on my history. I'm not saying that I'm a historical scholar, but I can pretty much hold my own when it comes to history. And what we found out was kind of things I knew, but it was things that I believe because the statements that have been made both on the internet and in person about slavery and the parties responsible, I believe that this is a very important thing to bring out because we're in a time where slavery is a big issue now. Everybody's on one side or the other of it. So let's just kind of cut through this and try to bring some light to the facts of history. I'm going to start out. I want to say that the Democrat Party is the oldest voter-based political party in the world and the oldest existing political party in the United States. It was formed in the 1830s and 1840s, but it traces its heritage all the way back to Thomas Jefferson and James Madison's Democratic Republican Party of the 1790s through the 1820s. So, I mean, its roots go all the way back to the 1790s. I do want to point out right off the bat, these two gentlemen, while in office as the President of the United States, both had slaves. Is that not true?
I think you. It's interesting to see that the presidents that had slaves while they were actually president. That was curious to me that they were actually president of the United States while they had slaves and they were Democrats.
Right. You know, now this party that we're talking about, according to Wikipedia, which we know these facts to be true ourselves, their ideology is progressivism, social liberalism, and democratic socialism. Now, we done a show back this, Deb, before you was on, where I told people if they will email me at the email on the website that I have a document that I can send them that shows that the people in the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, anybody in any party that belongs to the Democratic Socialist Party. It used to be called the Democratic Communist Party, and they put a little lipstick on the pig, like we talked about the other day, put a little grass on it, and called it the Democratic Socialist Party. But anybody that studied history knows that when you go into socialism, it goes on into communism. And we've got a guest that's going to be coming on in the future that's going to talk about what it was like living until he was 12 years old in the USSR. And he can shed more light on this than I can, because I've studied it, he's lived it, and that makes a difference. When you live it, you know it, because you know everything about it that, you know, that affects you. So I just want to bring that out. One of the things we found out, tracing the heritage back to Thomas Jefferson and James Madison's Republican Party, that they become the modern Democratic Party around 1828. Basically, by supporters of Andrew Jackson, again a slave owner while he was in office, making the world's oldest active political party. The history of the party and slavery is a very interesting thing. And I want you to listen. I'm going to read right out of Wikipedia now. The Democratic Party defended slavery, started the Civil War, opposed Reconstruction, founded the Ku Klux Klan, imposed segregation, perpetrated lynchings, and fought against the Civil Rights Act of the 1950s and 60s. In contrast, the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an anti-slavery party. Now, we hear so many times, I know you've heard it, I've heard it, we hear it on the TV, we hear it everywhere, that the Democrats, you know, that they were the North, they didn't have slaves. But you need to look up people, you need to look up Dixiecrats and find out what the Dixiecrats are. Because in the South is where the Democrat Party started. And it was the Democrats that had the slaves. And, I mean, that's just a plain fact of life. The idea of Thomas Jefferson leading to the founding of the Democrat Party as the oldest party in the United States of America, and James Madison, the party itself was based on constructionalist view of the USA Constitution.
So, you know, I was gonna interject. You talk about the Ku Klux Klan, excuse me, and you know, we were talking about the wonderful justice that we just lost, and I brought up a pro-life issue, and that's just a strong statement because I watched something that kind of changed my personal viewpoint. That doesn't mean I have a viewpoint for everybody on that. I'm not running around, but I've got to say that the Ku Klux Klan, when you brought that up, and Margaret Sanger, who created and started Planned Parenthood and was a big believer in, you know, eliminating the inferior races. And I just think that kind of ties in somehow. I just thought I'd throw that out there at you.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at this, and the more I look at it, the more it just kind of opens up more of what I knew and brings it to light. You know, one of the things is, you know, you go back to the 1790s, there was a lot of slavery, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Democrat Party supported slavery prior to the Civil War. This is all in WikiLeaks. I'm not just telling you something I want to tell you. I want you to look it up. You can go to WikiLeaks. When was the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, founded? And you'll be able to find all this information. You got to click through the little arrows and expand the different things, but you'll find it. The Democrat Party supported slavery before the Civil War, and so did most other parties. You know, we had the Whig Party and all that stuff way back when. And before 1861, abolitionists were a rarity. They were a very few minority, and they weren't endorsed by Republicans or anybody else. After the Civil War, though, no one supported slavery openly as such. That's right. That openly as such is right out of the, you know, supported. No one supported slavery openly as such is a direct quote out of WikiLeaks. And, you know, you need to think, I mean, even after the Civil War, there were people that wanted to have slaves. And this is just a cold, hard fact, folks. The Democrat Party was pro-slavery, period. That's out of WikiLeaks, too. That's a direct quote. Today, you know, they say the GOP, you know, the Republican Party was supporting slavery, and they weren't. But it says in WikiLeaks, Democrats can say whatever they want about the GOP today. But the fact is, the Democrats were the ones who were pro-slavery. And the Republican Party was instituted to stop slavery. And what do you think about that? After all you've heard, you know, we hear it every day. What do you think about that, Deborah?
Well, can I go back to the idea of a neo-conservative emerging back of, you know, in the day? I believe this has weight to it. Because we have a new kind of Democrat that came on the scene in the 20th century, and now we see that refined, new type of neoconservative. And I'm gonna mimic and parrot that fact that this is real, a counter assault on reality. We have a blatant situation where we're hearing these horrible things that the Republicans, that the country, that the patriots are doing and burning. I saw more flag burning last night. I wanted to throw up a couple of days ago. I think we discussed the BLM flag going up in front of a city or county building, and the American flag coming down, and at least they folded it. Thank you, BLM and Antifa protesters. At least they folded it up with respect. But this has got to stop, because what you're seeing is we're seeing a complete, almost like we're watching a cartoon with things that are not realistic. There, you say one thing and you're doing another. And this is what you're reading here. Or not reading, but telling us and explaining to us. And this is the information. This is the information.
Well, you know, we see so much hate and anger right now. We're seeing things go on that, I mean, it's just ridiculous, the things that we're watching go on in our country. And it's propagated on a lie at this point. I mean, when we first met, I mean, I talked to you about, you know, the issue of slavery. And, I'm going to admit, you know, I'm going to say that some of my family were slave owners and some of my family were slaves, it wasn't just an issue of blacks being slaves. It was an issue of white people, red people, brown people, yellow people were slaves as well. You look at how the Chinese would treat it when they built the Transcontinental Railroad. They were treated horribly. And they're the ones that put the railroad through more than anybody. You can look at the way that the Irish and the Scots were sent over here from England. And they were sent over here, and they were treated very poorly. They were arrested on trumped-up charges, a lot of them, and then they were forced to come over here as an indentured servant. Well, the problem with indentured servants is those they are indentured to can add on to what they have to work off. And you might have to come over here and work off 7 years of prison time, but at the same time, they can turn around and charge you for your food, your lodging, and everything. So that you never get, you know what I'm saying? You never get free because there's always that added bill that keeps multiplying on you. And time you get done with your seven-year term, then you owe them for 7 years of lodging. And while you work that off, you've got all those years of lodging and food and all those things. The same thing was done with many other people that came over here. The issue of slavery, too, if you look it up, you will find that slavery started in Africa. It was a tribe of people. It was the same thing. The irony is, here's some irony. You remember when they had the little kneeling thing there at the state capitol, and they had on their African-style I don't know what you call them. It looked like, you know, some kind of scarf had come over their neck and things like that. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That was
exactly.
That was actually the patterns used by the tribe that started slavery in Africa. And I just, Lord God, you know, I'm sitting there. Oh, God, I can't believe they're doing this. You know, they're right here saying that they're against slavery and they're against, you know, and they want reparations and they want all this stuff and they're uniting with the black people. But at the same time, they're wearing the clothing of the people who started slavery. You know, it looks like if you were smart enough to get elected as a representative of the people, that you would be smart enough to make sure that you didn't do something that portrayed you as the opposite of what you're saying. But evidently that's not a thing they worry much about anymore. They just pander to people. They think they see these colors and say, oh, well, that's African clothing. How nice. But they actually got chastised by an African person for wearing that from Africa. And she got on and she told them, said, you know, these are the people that captured my people and sold them as slaves.
Right.
See, there wasn't white people going over gathering up slaves. This tribe would kidnap people from other tribes, and then they would sell them to slave traders. Well, and another interesting fact in the United States is that the first slave owner, the very first slave owner, was black. What do you think about that, Deborah?
Well, you know, you're making me crazy because I keep going back. I keep rolling forward to present time, and we're dealing with not a conspiracy, but maybe an indictment against people involved in a very incredible, unbelievable, unthinkable act in Pizzagate. Isn't that human slavery? Children, little boys, little girls, women, men, whatever. I don't know who's involved, but is that, and we're talking about ritualistic murder in a lot of cases. And so when we study Pizzagate, and I would hope to God, I would invite everyone listening to start picking up where we're leaving off with Pizzagate. Start investigating it. And we don't have to dig very deep to see that there's no conspiracy in Pizzagate. There, this is a real deal now. And doesn't that tie in here? Has anything changed, Bill? Right?
No, I mean, slavery is a world institution, okay? And it's always been. It's been overseas for years and years. When you look at, you mentioned Pizzagate. There's also Pedogate. There's also the Epstein deal. We hear about human traffickers kidnapping people, trafficking them across the border to Mexico. And these people are some of the worst treated slaves is. They're forced into prostitution, not just women, but there's also children that's being forced into prostitution, boys and girls. They're being used. When we start talking about reparations, what about all these people? What about all these people? It's not, the thing is, I've explained to you, I've got black grandchildren and stuff. I've told you that before. It's not about your race. If you want to talk about this issue of slavery, please, please, people, my God, please, people, get on to the internet, get into the library, look at some books on slavery, look at books on human trafficking, look at things on pedophilia, the people that are involved. I mean, this goes, I mean, I call it Holly Weird out there in California because these people are full of it. They're full of this stuff. And it's the same way in D.C. It's the same way across the country. And I believe when this all comes out, it's not going to just be Democrats. I think there's going to be Republicans involved. Absolutely. And if there is, I hope they take and string them all up because that's what they need, But when we talk about slavery, we need to look at modern-day slavery as well. We need to look at the slavery of the white people, the red people. Look at the Trail of Tears. My Indian heritage, my Cherokee heritage, our people were the ones that hid in the hills when they rounded everybody up, and we were the ones that remained free. The rest of them were taken, put on the Trail of Tears, and they were shipped west. They were slaves. They were put on ground, told where they could live, what they could, where they could hunt. I mean, the whole thing. They weren't allowed into, society. They was ostracized. Slavery is there's many facets of it. There's many degrees of it. Some of what's going on today is worse than ever, because people are being taken and put into bondage, basically, and they're being used for sexual slavery, and I can't think of anything worse for a woman or a child, especially. It's sad that we watch this and we see one small facet of our country saying, we want reparations for what was done for us, but they don't want to do anything for anybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Can I say something about this? Since man, history tells us about man, and whether we're involved in Christianity or Islamic or Muslim or whatever religion or idea or concept we follow spiritually or with theology or what, there's all we can go back to the beginning, and there's always the long arm monkey theory where the strong will not only survive, they will decide. And you remember the old saying, the victor writes history. And when we think of what's happening right now, are we not all a slave of ideals and ideas? So what's happening is through smoke and mirrors and all of this, dog and pony show, and we said this today, but that doesn't work for us tomorrow. Now the Constitution means something, we're going to follow it, but now it doesn't. And so we are having to follow along like sheep and bite onto the rope so we don't fall. And the slave of ideas, can we can we address that we are having, like, for example, our justice that just left us, and rest, God rest her soul. But I just heard it mentioned that there's talk that we're to follow her dying wishes, and we're going to have to succumb to what she wants for people, that she's gone. Wherever we go, she's gone, and we're here to suffer the consequences of her dying wish. And this is the slave of ideas. Can you?
Right.
You always have great ideas and great way to take this and think about this.
Right. Listen, when you call into the show, we have to get to a break point, and we will take and answer your calls. We had somebody just called in, and they didn't wait long enough for us to get through what we were saying right there. That seems to be, you know, and sometimes there's a waiting time if we've got people on in line. So, but we try to get to you as soon as we get to a breaking area.
Interrupt me anytime, and I will quiet myself. We love callers. Please call back.
Yes.
Please call back.
Yes. But, I mean, you know, we value anytime somebody wants to call in, we'll talk to you. We like to hear opposing opinions as long as they are correctly put out there. We don't, deal with insults. We don't deal with, people getting belligerent on the air. But if you want to call in and speak and talk, maybe even debate, we're fine with that as long as it's done in a civil manner. And with that said, I just want to go on and talk about this because, we hear a lot about the Federalist. We've heard a lot about that over the last, over this year, with the impeachment and everything. And I have not only read into the Federalist papers, but I've read into the Anti-Federalist papers. I'm far from an expert on them, but when I've got a question, I go to the library, I check out the book, and I look it up, and I read it. But, the Federalists were people that wanted the Constitution of the United States the way it was originally drafted. And the Anti-Federalist people were people that wanted a Bill of Rights, for one. They were very animate. There was one of the Anti-Federalist papers was a person that was on that committee, and back then it was about as unpopular to be against the Federalist movement as it is to be against maybe the things that's going on our streets. So he wrote it under assumed name. They not sure exactly which one of them it was, but he and some of his colleagues walked out of the Constitutional Convention when it was going on because there was no Bill of Rights. And they said that we needed a Bill of Rights. The Federalists said we didn't. They said that anything not taken was given, and the Federalists argued that anything not given was taken. So that's why we have a Bill of Rights. They hung in there. They fought to give us a Bill of Rights, which is very important in this country. Without that, we wouldn't have right to peaceful protest. We wouldn't have the right to be able to go to church. We wouldn't have the right to, bear arms to protect ourselves and also to protect ourselves against a government that's gone rogue. And with that, I want to say on the Second Amendment that if we did not have the Second Amendment, we would not have the right to bear arms. Now, we've been a country for 244, 245 years, something like that. And we've not had a problem having weapons until about the last 12 years. And then all of a sudden, they want to take them away from us. Now, let me ask you this. Why would they suddenly want to take them away from us? I've got an answer, but I'm going to ask you, Dave, if you know what it is.
When we don't agree with the government that's being presented in laws that are being changed, I don't know, am I right? We can't defend ourselves. I mean, that's, is there more to it?
Well, the way I'll state it is that if they suddenly want to take your guns away, I believe it's because they're planning on doing something that you might shoot them for.
There you go. I love that, Bill. That's a Kentucky way to say it, I'll tell you. It's straight up. Straight up.
But, you know, we've seen all of this, and we're going to get into the racism and stuff more as we go. But, you know, bottom line is, folks, I did not own a slave. And anybody I know did not own a slave that's alive today. Now, I did know a slave that was born into slavery right at the end of the Civil War. He was over 100 years old. And I knew him when I was a child. And I can remember him saying that his parents were slaves and he was born into slavery. He was just like a year or two before the Civil War. And he said that he didn't go on with what was going on at the time. And this was in, you know, the 1960s when the bus riots and all that were going on. He said that he and his family, once they were free, they went out and they worked. His parents worked as sharecroppers. And then as he got older, that he got him an education and he went into business and he had made his way. And he said that this was the freest country in the world now. And he said that he loved it. And he said nobody was holding him down but what he was willing to do himself. And he said he was sick of the people at that time, you know, demanding this, demanding that. They had some good points. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I admire Martin Luther King and everything he done in the civil rights movements. But he was a peaceful activist. And with peace, you can change the world. But when you go out and you're trying to force stuff upon people, force reparations on people, and you're going out with a twisted mindset where somebody has told you a lie, such as in the case that, you know, the Republican Party had started slavery. They were the slave owners and all of this, and that they want to put you in chains. We've heard that. When they propagate these lies, then all they're doing is damaging our nation's capability to grow and expand and become even more powerful, even greater nation than we are. And I want to see America... I want to see America under Martin Luther King's vision. I don't want to see it under Al Sharpton's vision or Jesse Jackson's. I don't want to see it, you know, under Louis Farrakhan's vision. I want to see the America that Martin Luther King pushed for so hard and gave his life for. He gave his life for that. He was assassinated because he had a dream. Well, we would live together one day in unity and our kids could be friends and play together. And for years, we were at that point. And then we had just one person come in an office that started race baiting and brought all these race baiters like Farrakhan and Jackson and Sharpton in. And so we got to get back to that. I am sick and tired of the lies about slavery. I hope that we spread a little bit of light here just with Wikipedia. I mean, we didn't try to tell you, you know, what to think or whatever. We told you what Wikipedia said. And we were talking about the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. You have to understand that the place to change America is at the ballot box and in public office. And when you go to that ballot box, you got to find somebody to put in there in public office that is truly going to represent what's good for the United States. And I tell you what, it's hard to do because everybody wants to put their hand in the till and come out with a handful of cash. And we are the slaves now, the American people. We've got
you
to stand
remember,
up, folks. Go ahead.
Our organization's page, when the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. That is Martin Luther King. It's on our page.
Right.
It's on our page.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we can't just say, oh, well, we're going to throw out the Constitution because we don't like it. We can't say it's a living document. It was never meant to be a living document. And every time we get somebody in there that thinks it's a living document, they write amendments to it, they force them through, and guess what happens? You lose your rights, folks. You lose your rights. The anti-federalists we were talking about believe that the Constitution took too much power from the citizens and claim that the executive could become a monarch and to them the nation as well. It was too large a single unit. And that's one of the reasons that they stayed in there and they fought to get these things where there was checks and balances on things. Again, it goes back to like the Supreme Court. You know, we got to have neutral people in there. It's hard to find somebody that can lay their feelings aside, but we have to do it. It seems that we hear too much about, you know, what the Federalists thought and not enough about what the Anti-Federalists thought, because the Federalists thought that it should just all be government, 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 okay? And the government should control everything. And they wrote it out initially where they had complete control over the country. And the Anti-Federalists come along and they fought that argument. And if it wasn't for the Anti-Federalists, we would probably still be a slave nation. Only every person in here would be a slave. And with the things that are going on now, we are becoming slaves. So, I mean, we have to get up. We have to get out on the street. We have to make our voices heard. We have to get out, and we have to stop this horrendous stuff that's going on in our country. But the whole thing is that in this whole document, this whole thing that we've looked at, you know, the Democrat Party was the party of slavery. I mean, it's documented in here. They were the party that, have fought against the rights of black people all the way up in the 60s and stuff. And they still do. They still do. They'll tell you that they're on your side. But what happens when they're elected? You're right back where you was. And it's ridiculous. And I just hope people will take time to go into Wikipedia and look at this yourself and try to understand what's going on. We're going to talk about the Republican Party next time. And, it's good and bad points. And in it, too, we'll also have some things. It's some good points about the Democrat Party. We have to be wise, because Winston Churchill once said that he who does not study history is doomed to repeat it. And we don't want to repeat our history. We don't want to backslide to that in our country. We want to be able to be a strong nation. We want all people of all colors to be welcome. We want them to be, we want them to be treated fairly. And, you know, the issue comes up when I say all people of all colors. It often comes up about the people that are coming over here illegally. And, when you cross that border without prior authorization, you are an illegal alien. I don't care how that word police try to tell me I've got to say that. You are an illegal alien. Now, if you come across that border and you went through the proper steps, you can sign up and you can be a U.S. citizen. and you can make a life for yourself here, a good life. But, you know, we see too much just pandering, you know, anything to get a vote, and it has to stop. Things are going to be coming out in these investigations going on. I think it's going to shed a lot of light on what's been happening in this world and in this country. And I just pray that when it does, that people have the wisdom to really sit there and look at it and say, oh, my God, what have they been doing to us? Okay. And, I mean, you yourself, Deb, I mean, you've woke up a whole lot just since you've come in contact with me, I believe, and started in this organization, have you not?
Because, you know, we get the information by talking with one another, and when we have open-minded people like yourself and the group that is out for answers, we're not trying to be right. I'm trying to find out answers from you. And I'm wondering, I think one of the follies here in our country is with the Republic of the United, the Democratic Republic of the United States, is the local government. Our mayor in LA has as much power as the president of the United States for me. That needs to be looked at, because if we vote the wrong person in the local and county and state governments, we're trapped. We're slaves. We are slaves in California. And I got to say, Bill, our gun rights in California are gone. They are literally stopping us from even getting any ammunition for the weapons that we legally registered according to the law of our Second Amendment.
Exactly. You know, I think that the people of California need to wake up, but I don't see that happening to the greatest extent that it needs to happen. But maybe somehow, I don't know, we can look into this. Maybe somehow we can find a way to petition the White House to, you know, get an audience with the president or something about the rights of people in California, because this has got to stop. The Second Amendment. We're going to have Chris Ann Hall, constitutional scholar. She's going to be on the show next week on the 26th,
right.
And she's going to talk about the Second Amendment. And she knows a whole lot more about it than I do, because I mean she has studied it her whole life, and she's been pulled from Facebook. Because you know she's not friendly with the ones that want to disarm us. She's been pulled off of Facebook. She's had, you know, numerous different things happen, and I'll let Chris expand on that if she wants on the show. But in the meantime, the people of California, and I know y'all got a lot out there that listen to us. We've got groups out there. We've got charters, and these people out there, you need to start pulling together, and you need to start raising a loud voice outside the government buildings. You know, we've seen it happening all the time here for these activists, these people that are destroying our streets. But, you know, have a peaceful assembly and let your voices be heard. And that's important. But with that, we're going to have to close the show tonight. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope that you'll tune in for the second half tomorrow when we discuss the Republican Party and slavery. And I hope that you have a wonderful night. I pray that God be with you and your family and keep them safe. If you're in an area where we are watching for you. We're keeping an eye on things. And if you're interested in joining our organization, please come to citizensagainstterrorism.org. That's citizensagainstterrorism.org. And go to the webpage, look it over, hit the Facebook rally point at the top. It will take you to our Facebook page. You can hit the join button. That will get you on the page if you pass our initial scrutiny. and then you will be given directions about how you can join our organization. It's a wonderful group of people. We're doing good things for good people, you. So with that, I want to say good night and God bless you. God bless you, Deb. God bless the United States of America.
God bless you, Bill.